You know, Winston, human nature is nobody likes to be corrected. You know, it's just not in our nature to accept criticism or correction humbly. And some of us are better at it than others. Most people, if they're getting corrected, and especially in the business world, when you get someone who's the ultimate authority, they're the head of an organization, it's very difficult for people to correct them, because some people, you know, they have the attitude, I'm all-knowing. Mm. You can't tell me what to do. You're not, you know, look where I sit. And I've worked for people and with people over the years that had that attitude that, you know what, doggone it, I am, you know, this title or whatever title. And what I've usually answered in my mind, I didn't always verbalize it, but I would think, I don't care what you are, you're still wrong. But, you know, it's hard for people to say that. It's hard for people to step up and tell their bosses, hey, you know what, you're offline, you're off base. What's the point? What have we been talking about? We've been talking about real live examples. We talked about the guys from Enron and WorldCom. Those things that pleased them brought them down. Bernie Ebbers is in jail, going to spend the rest of his life in jail. The guy from Enron, Ken Lay, he's dead. He was convicted and died, could be, from the pressure. Mm. Anna Nicole Smith had the world by the tail, by the world standards, dead at 39 years old. I tell you, guy, we didn't talk about that Kozlowski guy with, Tyco. Ran Tyco. The guy spent $5,000 on shower curtains. Now, you know, maybe I'm just cheap, but I think you can go to Walmart and get a liner for 99 cents. But, you know, those people cross the line, Winston. And we were talking before the break about how do you avoid that. And I thought of an example that I know you can relate to. Going back to your days both at UK and then in the pros, I've heard coaches and people say all the time, when you're up there on top of the world, you can't read your own press clippings. Or if you do, don't believe it. Because sometimes you start to believe what you read about yourself and you're heading for a crack. There's another example that was a local example. A few weeks ago in Business First, there's a front page article about a local developer who was being foreclosed on by a large bank here in town. $9 million transaction. There's an example. My son, again, had seen this particular developer signs all over the place many times and would make the comment, Dad, that guy must be filthy rich. Must be filthy rich. Look at that. His name's everywhere. And then when that article came out, I took it home, showed it to my son, and said, read this. He said, what's this mean, Dad? What's foreclosure? I said, well, that means that he's apparently gotten into some issue with his bank, not making his payments. He's going to lose all that. And my point that I always make to my son is just because someone appears to be on top of their game or appears to be wealthy, my standard response is always the same. You don't know what they owe, son. Mm. You know, they might have the nicest car, the nicest home, nicest clothes, go to the nicest places, but you don't know what they owe. So wow. Some people can appear to be wealthy, those things that are pleasing them,
right,
which is, in this example, spending maybe more than you got, mm-hmm, can hurt them. Because yeah, at some point, that house of cards falls. We've all seen those people that live beyond their means. We've seen those people that are doing things to draw attention. They're flying right into the radar screen. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm the greatest. Mm-hmm. And very few really are, you know. Ali would be an example of one who could back up what he said.
Right.
But more times than not, when they say that, there's nothing to back it up with.